Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Talk Straight. Talk Straight is an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Weekly topics focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Reverend Dr. Reuben Y. Dockery, Sr. is your host. Here we engage experts in various disciplines of study, and most importantly, you are a listening audience in provocative conversations. Additionally, this show will serve as the catalyst for sharing relevant information to our online community. Our friends at BFC Institute Participation Group. And tonight, we're grateful to have you with us, and we will be talking specifically from the topic Moving from Thoughts to Action. The driving force behind our action in life is our thoughts. Considering the fact that thought expressions are based on one's level of knowledge, it is reasonable to conclude that people's actions or lack of action is informed by their level of knowledge. Tonight we have one of our previous guests back with us. I believe I'm pronouncing it right when I say Sedgwick Lanier, who will be joining us in a little bit, and I expect our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, to join us again tonight. After we give a brief monologue and a synopsis for our conversation tonight, I'd love to engage you in conversation. If you're listening via Facebook or Twitter, certainly you can click in at the site itself, blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute. And you can call us directly here at 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. As always, we'd love for you to engage us in our question and answer session found on the Facebook page. Again, that's the BFC Institute Seminar Participant Group. If you have not, go to our webpage and join that group by simply going to bfcinstitute.com and to click on the page down at the bottom tab that talks about the group. And go ahead and register with us. Our first question tonight that we want to tackle is, how does a person manifest into reality? To help us answer that question, we will go now to our monologue, and after which we'll come back and we'll open up the phone lines to our panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller, as well as our guests for tonight. Again, we're talking about moving from thoughts to action. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 7th verse reads, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." That suggests, from a biblical standpoint, that one ought to think about where not only their heart is, but others they engage. Because wherever one's thought comes from is indicative of their heart. Behavioral specialists suggest that the human brain's function begins at a very early chronological age. At age 3, for a normally functioning toddler, the brain capacity to retain information is said to be at 70% development. At age 5, that capacity has increased to 95% capacity. And after age 21, it has reached its fullest capacity to receive and process information. Over the lifespan of that individual, the information is transformed into what we call thought. The Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I like to go back to the fact that the stuff you've been through has caused you to come up with some thought. The real question is, what motivates your action or lack thereof? Let's define thought a bit more here and even look at the concept of action. And before our show is over, I'd like to offer for your consideration a four-step process to take in a thought or idea that comes to one and manifesting it into action. Thought refers to ideas or arrangements of ideas that are the result of the process of thinking. As I mentioned, when information comes to us, we begin to process it and think about it. While the process of thinking is an activity considered to be essential in humanity, theoretical experts are not in general consensus as to just how the intellectual community will define or understand it fully. And that's largely based on the fact that different individuals, different cultural experiences are on different levels and have different perceptions of the same information. Because thought underlies many human actions and interactions with one another, understanding its physical and metaphysical origins, processes, and effects has been a long-standing goal for many academic disciplines, including linguistics, the discipline of psychology, those who engage in neuroscience, philosophy, and even artificial intelligence. Biologists consider the same, those studying sociology, and the field of cognitive science. All of these people are trying to bring some sort of understanding to this concept of thought. Thinking allows humans to make sense of what we go through, to interpret or represent, and in many ways understand the world that we experience. We're able to make predictions in the future about what will happen not only in our world, but in the world or experience of others. It is therefore helpful to humans as we look at the objectives and desires that we established our plans on and otherwise things that we seek out to do. Perhaps the best evidence of thought is the manifestation of action. Now, let's understand a little bit more about what action is. The process of doing something. We often hear people complain about circumstances, problems, and issues, and they can speak to that well, but when it comes to doing something, they're stuck. This process may include specific measures, definable steps or activities, the work that you got to put in, and what format do you frame that work. I'm going to get to that. We're going to talk about that tonight.
Additionally, the process is intended to help one meet a specific aim. The most successful human beings ever known to human history have perfected the act of moving their thoughts or ideas into actions, and those have been recorded such that thousands of years later, people can still learn from them. Now let's, as we go through tonight, consider some best practices related to moving from thoughts to action. As I mentioned earlier, we want to answer the question, how does a person manifest their best thoughts into reality? I'm happy again to have with us Brother Cedric Lanier and Pastor Ricky Wallace. Gentlemen, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
How are you doing?
Mighty fine. It's a pleasure to have you, brethren, with us tonight. I read somewhere, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in the unity. I ain't going to preach. I didn't come to preach. We're going to come to something else.
Go ahead, brother. It's the truth, and I like that.
All right. Gentlemen, you heard our monologue. Where did I go wrong?
Just speaking from what I heard, you didn't go wrong in any way. I listened to when you talked about the biblical quote about as a man thinketh in Proverbs, so is he. But also, I think about James chapter 1, verse 8, where it talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, that means in order for me to process a thought, don't I have to be decisive first?
Come on. I think you're going to help me out tonight.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Pastor, what you got to say about that now? Put that in your pipe.
Yeah. I think he already have helped you out right there. He didn't gave us what we need.
We're on the right track.
Yeah, one thing I know he was telling us, we don't need no confusion, you know.
That's right.
There's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, he said that it exists of us, you see. And so that's what I and his word is so valuable. You know, I think about the book of Hebrews, you know, how it says in the fourth chapter around verse number 12, man, it states very clear. It didn't make no mistake. He said the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so he said he knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So he knows that, you know, you've been a good talk, but if there ain't no action to it, you know, he know exactly what that means. You know, you have to have action because God is a God of knowledge, and by him, actions are weighed. Good news.
Do you think, too, that maybe we can derive from that also, too, that we can go faith without action is dead? So if we say we think a certain way and we understand that thoughts are energy, frequencies, or vibration. So if we can have thoughts on a positive way, then I think that when a community of people come together on a way that is optimistic for, you know, showing a better way or a better route or course of avenue to try, then when we implement that by ways of some say struggles or hardships that they've been through, I think that's the way that we can accompany each other and come together collectively to learn from the error of thoughts. In other words, thinking negative or harboring thoughts in our heart. You know what I mean? Because sometimes people can smile in your face, like they're saying all the time, they want to take your place. Them backstabbers, you know. And it's sad, but it's a process of them being double-minded. They're still straddling the fence. They're not hot or cold. They want to be in between when it's either one or the other. So I think that we have to set our aims and our thoughts one way because you emit certain frequencies from your body when you think a certain way. Even like say, just say for instance, I give this analogy, you're going through stress and stress can really kill you. You understand? I mean, you're harboring these negative or pessimistic thoughts. And at the same time, we don't know that we have to, it has to be a renewing of one's mind. When you renew one yourself or renew your mind, that means you change your consciousness. You understand?
That's
this
right.
can be done at any time. If you're really reflecting or pondering, as the Proverbs say, it's a word called Selah, I think, S-E-L-A-H. When you read something that says ponder or think, it's telling you something. You really think about what you read. Really meditate on each word, and you'll find out that you can derive so much from that. And you can also rearrange or remake the sheets of the bed of which you lay in, you know, to change your direction.
Okay. So gentlemen, this past weekend, they estimate about 2 million plus women said that they were uncomfortable and they wanted to express their thoughts about where the country was and so forth. Now, for a long time in this country, we've had a certain subgroup of people who've been crying and complaining about our condition.
Mm-hmm.
What does it take for those people to manifest the thoughts they talk about at home, in the locker room, at work, behind the building, on the corner, in their bathrooms, in their bedroom? How do they manifest those best thoughts into reality? I'm going to ask a process question here.
Anybody? Go ahead. Very unique. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to let the pastor hit it. I was going to let the pastor start off first.
Okay, now when you think about the things that are going on in society, in our community, in our neighborhood, and you're talking about
high. Come down my street now.
You see, you're talking about a high place now. Okay, let's just say, for instance, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mine through God, and the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, let's just say the thought of leaning and depending upon something that's not beneficial for us, you see, it's a stronghold. All right?
Okay.
But let's just say we mess around and get some information and some good news about what we need to do in our community. All right? And then we stand firm, and I'm talking about unmovable, concerning it. Realizing that there's a solution for what we're dealing with, because, see, I know they're not going to stand on that street corner that I'm going to stand on.
Okay.
That's right.
And I know they're not going to be there, so it's up to me to do what I can do to help my community. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not taking nothing from those elections and the presidential pattern of thinking or any of that. That's not where I'm at. But where I am located is what are we going to do in our community, and how can we establish a foundation in our community that would be successful? And that is that we have to realize, first of all, what the enemy is doing to us, and then we get the information, say, okay, we found out. Now, unless Satan get the advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. So if Satan got a device, he'll make us think that we can't do nothing without certain individuals. That's right there. That's a danger.
So we're dependent
on... That's a danger, man.
But, Pastor, you're suggesting that the enemy wants you to be super dependent on someone outside of yourself to bust a move for yourself.
Yes, sir.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
See,
you know, and I'm only going on my experience, and I mean, and I'm still saddened by it. I know it's a certain type of weight that it carries that I walk around with daily because of it, and it's not because I'm being charged with it. You know, I'm coming because all of the things that I have done has been blotted out, and I understand that respectfully, and I appreciate the Lord for that. But it does not stop me from reminding myself that there's another generation that's walking into that same trap I was in once upon a time. And what is
that's
it that we can do to wake them up? And you know what Paul says in the book of Romans? He said, it is now high time to awake out of sleep. You know, and he wasn't talking to the people outside the building. He was talking to the people who flipped them pages in the Bible. Who's inside the building, who's supposed to have this type of information to take to the streets, man? And once we do that, I didn't say if we do it. I said once we do that.
That's right.
You watch the difference, man. That's a difference maker right there. Because they know that. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought. I'm sorry. I'll wait till you
finish your thought. Well, it always comes from what we're wrestling with. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual paladins, you know, and spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, in our home is a high place. You know, In the churches is a high place. On the job is a high place. When we dwell amongst each other, like you say, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity, not in confusion. Where is all this confusion coming from? How can someone do us like that and they're not even around us?
but they
ain't got the hand on you no more, do they?
No, man. And then we're doing everything that they designed for us to do to one another without even being around. Man, when I discovered that, I felt real bad, man.
You know what?
My community. Go ahead, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, I want to commend you on what you're saying as well as what you brothers are touching on. And what's so pertinent is when we really look at things and we think of it, if we delve into it and we think about faith, when we're talking about that main subject, faith without works is dead. See, your faith
has been
increased because of the different adversities or the hardships or the sufferings you've been through. So I think that's when prudence comes in, prudence of wisdom. You start to be more decisive and make a decision on what direction you're going to go towards in order to bring something into fruition. Because if you have a thought, be it negative or positive, it comes into existence when a person start going in that direction of that thought, because thought is the cause of every action, behavior, and attitude. People got to understand that we have a creative reservoir in ourselves. Didn't Jesus say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world for a reason?
Right.
Now,
it's
letting me know that it's something inside of me that is so powerful. But until I'm able to get into those inner recesses, that chamber, what's in me, and to exclude these external vanities of the world, then there's no way possible I'm going to be able to really understand how these thoughts can synergistically go with other thoughts and, move in that direction of what it is necessary to surmount the obstacles that we go through, because we have light and dark, we have good and bad, male and female. Everything has an opposite of duality, but we still have to find a way to balance it all out. And to me, that's what faith is about. You know, when I have faith in something. Yes, sir.
Let me run this at you. You're saying some key.
Yes, sir.
You're saying something. What I'm hearing from you, brethren, is that there are barriers to individuals taking the opportunity to stop and consider thoughts that hit them, that
are representative
of their reality and their experience. It's not that they don't have something on their mind. As it is, they are not what? Engaged in their own thought. So in a
they're
sense,
not pondering
they're waiting on... Right, they're waiting on someone else to do the thinking for them.
Yes.
So,
help me
wrap this thing around my mind now. I'm a little confused.
It's called subjugation, brother. Subjugation. when you're subjugated or you're enslaved anyway, in the egotistical ways. If we look at egotistical, we look at ego. Ego ease God out. We ease God out and we lean onto our own understanding. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
What happens
is
we're going to have a tendency to try to make everything fit around us. You understand? And if you should tell the truth and the truth will set you free, then a lot of people don't want to acknowledge or embrace that truth in order to move themselves in a new direction. They want to drive their car looking out the rear view window.
Wait now. It sounds like you're inferring to me that there is a responsibility that comes with information.
Man, look, when you get knowledge, you find out that it's incumbent upon you to take the initiative to propagate that or disseminate
that message
at the various levels to feed the multitude of people. Why should I sit up here and show you or take you fishing when I can show you how to fish to make you a fisher of man, you know, in order to get a little something more of your own in order to add to your identity? Not to decrease from you or take from you, but to add to you to keep a perpetual cycle of learning. You understand? And to keep us advancing towards one common goal.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No. I'm just agreeing with what. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so now, as we get ready to go to the bottom of the show here, the bottom of the hour, what I'm getting from you, brother, and we're going to pick this up, we're going to work this thing out, is that in order to move from thought to action, there is some individual-based responsibility and not the dependency on a so-called leader. And maybe there's a role for someone to be a guide, to be an example, but it sounds like to me you got to first start with yourself. That's what it sounds like to me now. So let me say this. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Got on with us tonight, my good brother, Brother Sedgwick Lanier, and Pastor Rick Waller. We're talking from the thought, moving from thought to action. Now, I'm going to, on the other side, gentlemen, I'd like to offer some concrete steps. Because as I said, we have a tendency to do a lot of complaining. And we tend, after the end of our bumping our gun, we have no answers. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to go to this brief message. And on the other side of that, when we come back, I want to share some things with you and see if we can pull some out of it. So if you're listening to Talk Straight, the number is 657-383-0944. Please don't hesitate to call us. Share your question, your comments. We'll be happy to engage you.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
I wonder if I can get a witness. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're talking about moving from thoughts to action. Fortunately, we have been invited to come and do the groundwork in one of our target cities, Little Town in Columbus, Mississippi. And we're going on February. We'll be there in town from February 3rd to about the 6th. To do some work there and to prayerfully come back and actually do our full lecture and seminar. And Brother Lanier, Pastor Waller, we're going to see if we can coordinate our schedule so he can travel with us on our next trip so that we can actually do this work that we're talking about. Marvin Gaye says, I need a witness. You know, sometimes Pastor Paul, it may seem like we come hard and we're not relentless or letting up, but, you know, I believe you ought to be loved that way if you love somebody.
That's right. I like that. Hey, you got a witness.
Works. Yes, sir.
But, you know,
yes,
didn't Marvin Gaye also say what's going on?
He did say that.
You know, what's going on? Why is it like in 1 Corinthians 14:33, it talks about this ball of confusion, or when God sees a God of order, not a God of confusion? You know,
sure.
I think it really comes on the basis because we're not doing what 2 Timothy 2:15 said, to study to show ourselves approved unto God. You know, sometimes I think we studying to show ourselves approved unto the man, or what people would think of us, opposed to the truth of the whole matter. And I think that's where we limit our potentiality to really bring forth those thoughts, because thought is really from the basis of faith. You understand? Because if you have strong faith or a thought process in something, then you're going to take the initiative in order to implement that in your everyday activities, in order to bring that into the direction to try to reach some type of concrete or base or foundation to which you can stand on. And without God, you don't have nothing to stand on. It's like building your house on sand, brother. That's why I think that we can talk this talk and it can be washed away real quick, because it's not built on something stable or firm. It's just built on sand.
You made a great point.
Man.
I've often asked young men, as I looked in their eyes and I saw despair, I asked them, I said, what you thinking about right now?
Nothing.
It's impossible for you to be breathing awake and not be thinking about something. I shared with them that maybe you assume that I expected you to be thinking about something specifically, but I need to understand what's on your mind in order for me to help you move your thoughts to action for yourself.
That's what we got to do.
We got to be in a position where we encourage and create an environment where these young men that are struggling with their identity, with their heritage, can identify exactly how to take the thoughts that are on their mind and make something out. Maybe sometimes they need to discard them.
Yeah.
Which is why we're encouraged to be careful about what we set our eyes on, because these things can form ideas in your mind that are perhaps not healthy, that are self-destructive and counterproductive. So it's a great point, Brother Lanier. Pastor, were you going to say something?
Well, I'm just basically, you know, listening, and I'm grateful for what I'm hearing. And what I'm hearing is actually, you know, you're talking about actions. And that's basically, that basically sells it all, you know, because that's what it's all about. It's all about action, man. And once you put action in motion, I mean, it has such a great effect, because what the enemy has used in my life was action, even though it was destruction. But it was action, man.
It wasn't
pretending to be something that I wasn't. I wasn't in God's, doing God's work. You see what I'm saying? But the work that I was doing, you know, I was a fool, so I trusted in me. I depended upon me, because I didn't have no sense of direction. And so that's what the enemy loves. He loves when he sees people trusting in themselves. And Brother Cedric just said, you know, he just said he made it plain. And that's what's going on a lot of times when people are talking that talk. They're entrusting in themselves, building themselves up. And that's a dangerous thing. And I'm going to tell you why it's a dangerous thing, from my own experience.
Okay.
My neighborhood, doing my own thing. And it wasn't intentional at all. Didn't try to do no harm to me. I loved my community, I thought. But I was disrupting my community, man, with a chemical.
That's right.
For many, many years. You know what I'm saying? And it had to do with words. Words were powerful then. And words are powerful now. Let me give you an illustration, then I'm going to turn it back over.
Okay.
In the book of Proverbs 28, verse 26, it states, whoever trusts in his own heart is a fool.
Uh-oh.
But whosoever wisely shall be delivered. See, that's a difference right there. See, I was delivered from being a fool. I would not go back and pick that poison up and do no more harm to my people.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was, I was a fool because I trusted in me. And the enemy knew that I trusted in me. That's why he had leadership in my life for all those years. Because I was a fool. That I was delivered from being a fool, man. And so I just enjoy what y'all are talking about, man, and it's just really meaningful, you know, to the great need that we have in our communities, but we have to stop talking that talk and start applying it, man. You know.
Okay.
And that's it. I mean, that's the end of it.
That's a great segue into what I want to share with you and the listening audience now. And I promise to offer a suggestion about some steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
This practice for moving from thought to action, and on individual levels and in various ways, I believe it's going to be useful to share this. So when we go to these towns and we go to these cities and these places, very intentional, very focused about supplanting these processes for individuals to use in order to make a difference. Why do we suggest these? Because what we've looked at over time throughout history, these have been identified as some pretty good practice. When a concept, an idea comes to you, a lot of times people get in trouble because they find themselves in situations without knowledge. The Bible says they have a zeal often unaccording to knowledge. Right? And there's impulse to act without thinking. Now, following somebody else will get you in a jam. Because you don't know what brought them, you don't know what brought them to their action or what motivated that, if they thought about it or not. But if you're following the crowd don't have a brain of its own. It's just acting off of impulse. So let me offer these four things. One, if I were to bring a concept to you and said, this is good for you, I want to sell this to you, first thing you need to do is to study or examine that thing, and you need to weigh the pros and cons out about that concept or that thought as it comes to you, and you need to ask yourself, is this real or is this a hustle? How does it fit with who I am, what my aspirations are as a person? What conditions does this prove itself to be real for me or anybody else? See, oftentimes people tell you something, today is one thing, and tomorrow it looks like something else, right? Why is this important for me to even spend time thinking about what's been brought to me? All right? That's step one.
Mm.
So we need to study and examine, right? Then we need to move into the second step, and this is the process of making some sort of decision as to whether or not and to what extent will I invest my time and attention in even considering moving forward. In other words, we're weighing out risk versus reward and the consequences that may come from such a reaction to what has been brought to me. Now, step three says we develop for ourselves a strategy for applying this idea. Notice what I said. We develop a strategy. So in other words, we wanna leave with a protocol that's based on goals, objectives, and activities. Now, if it's worth your time, see, when somebody – see. The devil came and tried to hustle Jesus in the wilderness, offered him stones for bread, told him, you jump off here and the angels will catch you. You ain't got to worry about nothing. But when Jesus said, man, don't live by bread alone.
Yeah.
But out of the by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, I'm relating this now to the idea that there is a process by which you stop, you think, you form, and look, you develop yourself in your mind a strategy for moving forward. if you cannot find some sort of goal that you're working toward with this idea, it could be a woman in your life. What are your goals for? What's the objective that you reach with her? And what sort of activities will inform your engagement day by day? Right? So
yeah, that's
then
right.
lastly, the fourth step is the actual engagement of the thought using those strategic methods. We got ourselves in pain. We know what our practice is going to be. Can't nobody take me off of this, brethren, because I have established a practice moving forward based on what? Me studying this thing, me forming some sort of a healthy opinion, or looking at consequences, rewards, and risks, weighing them out, and establishing for myself what are going to be my goals and objectives here. I'm in a position now to move forward, and at the end of the day, I can evaluate my outcome. Why did you do that? I don't know. How did you get it? I don't even know, man. I just ran up here. This is where good people find themselves stuck in that trap you were talking about, Brother Preacher.
Yes.
Because when the thought hit them, they don't take the time to work that thought and determine, is this good for me or not? Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I've been pastoring for 19 and a half years. I'm going to tell y'all something. It's two places, Brother Lanier, Pastor Waller, and listening audience, that people get caught when it comes to thought and then the subsequent action. And that is when it comes to their religious experience or in church and when it comes to politics. And
that's
the
right.
Number one reason is because they haven't studied for themselves to show that concept to be approved in their life.
Know what? When you sit back and you just accept something at face value, and sit back and see how this can be an intricate part of your life to move forward, then that's shame
that's
on
right.
you. You understand?
And people don't
know
that.
That's true. They don't know it, but it seems that no, you're okay, brother. It's like when you go through situations, like just say me, from a personal basis, I put myself in various situations, as Pastor Rick Waller was discussing about selling poison to neighborhood and doing things which contradictory to my moral behavior or the way I was taught. You know, it's a saying that teach a child right and they never depart from their teaching. Me and my mother had a discussion. I told her, I said, that's true. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, we might stray, but we're going to always go back to that of which we know to be the former after we have a very foreign experience with something. You understand?
That's right.
So
that's right.
We have to sometimes go through it in order to get to it. In other words, some people always talk about doing something, but they want something for nothing. They don't want to go through the process. So it's let me know that it's a process. In other words, if I plant a seed and I think a certain way and I cultivate my garden, be it positive or negative, I'm going to reap the benefits of that because what's in my heart is going to be made plain by my action, behavior, and attitudes. You can say anything. You can fix your mouth in a direction to make it sound appeasing to people, to mesmerize them or whatever. But until you're doing the necessary work to bring yourself from the depth, because once you're down, there's only one way to go, and that's up. So when you down and you don't got nobody but God, I think that's when we come to the self-realization. When you're in a place where you're not bombarded by the worldly activity or distracted by things of this holograph or this vanity or whatever, once you get some alone time, some real alone time, you get a chance to find out that there is a power when you're greater than nature itself. But in order to discover that, sometimes you have to be away from everything, alienated, away from everything in order to really, you know, get your thoughts in order, brother, and make some type of format or protocol, and then you follow those steps in order to put the right letters together to make a better day for self.
Hold that thought, big brother. You just hit it on the head right there. You just hit it on the head. Here's the problem with most of Pastor Waller. Growing up in the ghettos of America, we've been distracted by sex, by drugs, by sports, by gambling, by every other superfluity of life, right? And what we need is to go to the wilderness like Jesus and take a time out from it all so that we can process
who we are and where we need to be going. Now,
yeah.
I'm going to suggest to you that one of the, perhaps one of the most powerful things that a church congregation can do is to provide a spiritually therapeutic environment for a man or woman to process themselves and ask themselves, man, this thought, this thing that's been hitting me, who am I and which way do I go? What will God have for me to do?
My, yeah.
If the ministry can't do that, how? I mean, how, is it serving any purpose?
That's right, brother. That's right. That's right. That's right. And then until we can really take the initiative, like you say, to have that therapeutic environment, I mean, it's up to the people who've been there. You know how people can easily give suggestions and advice about something. But isn't it true that a testimony is nothing but when a person given a testament or he speak about something he's been through, and you never know how you're going to be able to reach another individual who's in that dark place or who's in that abyss where you can bring them up to a level of thinking to where they can change and they have the ability to change their whole course of direction. People don't want to really know their power yet because they don't understand great is he that is in you than he is in the world because we're distracted
in the
ourselves.
World.
Yeah.
We're distracted, social media manipulation, peer pressure. We're taken away from ourselves for a reason, then, and it's up to us to gain, like you say, go into that wilderness, to go into that seclusion or that solitude or into that closet within oneself in order to engage into thought and say, man, I can change this direction if I step forward in this way. Sometimes we only go back to only what we know, and that's the problem. We don't have another way out, and sometimes people will give us all this information about you should do this, you should go, but they don't tell you, like you say, the steps necessary in order to rid yourself of that negative behavior in order to come to a more positive direction, you know?
And you'll notice something about those steps. It takes time to do all that, doesn't it?
Say it again.
Man,
but you hit my heart when you said that one.
You have to be deliberate about that. In other words, I don't care what train is smoking, what's going on around you, who's there. You've got to make time, sir. And all we're talking about is meditating before the presence of God.
That's all, bro.
That's all we're talking about.
That's all,
We're talking about humbling yourself and allowing the Ruach or the Spirit of God to speak to you and to lead you and guide you into all truth.
That's
moving
it.
From thought to action.
But couldn't you add this too, Mr. Reuben Dockery, too, also, that in order to move in that direction, we have to be able to understand the awesomeness of this power. We have to be able to understand that this power exists because you can't move forward in a direction with something to cling on to if you don't really have faith into it. And if your faith don't correspond with your thoughts, then how are you going to put them into action? Tell me that.
Well, now, hold on for it. Hold that thought. And this is why in the action steps we laid out, I indicated that you have to study. See, where the faith come in is that you're looking at it and you're asking yourself, now, have I been through this before? If I have, what was the turnout for me? Right? You're selling me something. You're selling me something. You're saying it's good for me. Now, I've been around long enough to know some things ain't good for me. My question is this one of them. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And so you're right, Brother Lanier. You're absolutely right. But where does our confidence and faith come? As a little child grows and experiences through life, they learn to have confidence in their own ability to stand on their own two feet, put one in front of the other one, and walk. But they got to fall first. Just because you have a turbulent experience does not mean it destroys you. It could help you to learn how to what? Improve yourself.
But
yes.
That makes me think of something. You remember Dr. Martin Luther King said something in accordance to what you said. He said the first 7 years are very vital for a child. It's like my analogy is like putting some ice in a pot and how something is extracted from us. You understand what I mean? Because you can see a child get on a bike, and I don't have children yet, but I watch children had to get on the bike and they fall real hard. You cry, you might get they want to get up and try again. But it's something that happens when we reach the age over seven where and I was listening to the introduction of the show, you was talking about three and then the other age spans to 21 and when a person is able to fully process things. But something is diluted and taken away from us in that process prior, that when we reach that age, we had already gave up for some other reason. And it could it be because of the things we went through, or could have been because of us emulating environmental influences or core beliefs. Because if you believe a certain way, then that means that you have a preconceived notion of certain things, and I ain't going that way. I'm just going to leave it like this. And so that means you're going to be like a horse with blinders, man. You won't accept nothing else. You won't look outside your peripheral.
Watch this, brother. Often young people here, particularly next month, Black History Month, look at all the accomplishments that were made by black people. Look what they did. Look what they did. You should respect this. You should try to emulate that. But you know the one thing that's not done? Those principles, that order of their successes, are not taught at home, not taught in churches, unfortunately, many of them, I would say for sure, and they're certainly not taught within the context of their culture, in their community.
That's right.
So they're not reinforced. They're not modeled for them. The reason young cats go out to sell dope, slang, and bang is because that's all they know in the hood. Ain't nobody
brought
nothing else to them. Ain't nobody brought nothing else to them. They don't know that Eldridge Cleaver, when he started the Black Panther Party, was not trying to start a gang and keep up mess. He was trying to take care of the social needs of his community.
That's right. Mm. That's right. And you can see the efforts of that when you've seen the free lunch, the free breakfasts, and the free clothes in the school that they have formulated.
Absolutely.
You understand the things that they show with that unity. And it's so strange you say that because when I did secure one of my good friends, Fred Hampton Jr., and I think about what occurred with his father on December 4th, 1969, at 2337 West Monroe. And how at the age of 21, they kind of what you call silenced a movement.
Mm.
You understand what I mean? And we have others that want to be.
Right.
Yes, sir.
He and Mark Clark were in the house together, right? When they shot it up.
Yeah, of course, brother. Yes, sir, brother. And it's very profound because a lot of people don't know history. They just know his story. In other words, that first you got to know history of self in order to understand historical events. And then you can understand his story and you can take the initiative to formulate some type of stratagem. You understand to get from point A to point B to C. But if you don't have a conclusive knowledge of what happened in the past, then you're bound to repeat it. You're bound to be like that dog chasing his tail or that dog that returns to his vomit. You're going to keep doing that in redundancy, brother. There's no way you're going to get out of that circle.
That dilemma can't
be resolved until you do some studying. You understand? Meditation and looking at what parts you played in yourself. Everybody, it's because of the white man. It's the white man. Now, what about the part you play in accepting something? Quit blaming people. Blame your own soul, man. What part you playing? You can't blame people.
Didn't he say a man can't ride your back unless it's bent?
Ain't that truth, man?
Why you been in?
Ain't that tripped out?
Look, you can't get drunk off of Boom Fun or a Patron if you don't pick it up. Come on, talk to me, somebody. If you don't pick it up,
man.
Yes,
ain't
sir.
That deep? Ain't that deep? And we look at the suggestions
of
one's man.
Watch this, brother. She was so fine, man. She made me do it. No. It takes two to tango.
You do got to wear this, but can I say the devil made me do it too then? Get it? But we ain't talking about no devil on no hot sauce bottle. We talking about something that walks right around or a battle of principalities and powers that's within other individuals,
but our own
self.
But check this out about the devil. Even Pastor Wilder, we talk about how God set up Jacob, right? But even after that, God told the devil, he said, look here, Jacob got his own mind, and he loves me. I don't care what you do to Jacob, because of his love in his heart for me, ain't nothing you can do to change it. That's what the test was. That's what the test was all about. The test was for the devil to learn, and Job too, that, hey, if you be steadfast with what you know, come on, somebody. Mm. If you take your thought, and you process that right, using reality and truth as a guide, at the end of the day, you can make it through anything.
It's the relativity, like you say, brother. Wow.
My. That's
you can make
good
it through
news.
Yeah, that's good news. So So when a little dude decides that I'm gonna strap myself and I'm gonna go out in the blaze, they've decided that I might not live very long, and so I'm just gonna go out happy, right? But just imagine they learn that you don't have to go out like that.
That they learn
long life and prosperity can be added to you. Just imagine if they understood that.
They have to change the concept of their thinking. You know, it's sad that we think a certain way and we don't understand that we have to become more decisive in our thinking, what I'm trying to say. We got to have a firm resolve or decision
within ourselves that I've been down this road.
I've seen this scene before, yet I still want to participate and keep on doing the same thing. That means if you don't want to change that way and change comes from it, in other words, you can talk to a person until you're blue in the face. If that person has not taken the initiative to have really, really suffered from that or hit rock bottom in that decision, then there's no way, it's still like you're doing in vain. You can do all the work for that person. They're still going to return back to what they know.
Absolutely.
You know, so that means.
Go ahead. I'll finish your thought. Finish your thought.
No, I'm not saying, I was just saying in general, and then that really lets you know that you have to do your own homework. In other words, we have volitional free will to choose, man. You understand? Why was we granted free will? They said the angels going to court, but we was granted free will. We granted free will because we have a choice. A person, well, I didn't even choose in either one. Well, you made a choice not to choose. So I think you really in trouble, homie. I told this guy. You don't want to choose and stand up and be accountable for your own action, behavior, and attitudes. Yet you want to blame everybody else for something that you can change by certain striving in a different direction. You think the grass ain't green on the other side because you only go with what you know. So we emulate environmental influences. That's what it is. We only going with core beliefs. We think there's no other way out. So how are we going to present that to the children? How are we going to present it to other people in order to give them a clear route of saying, you can go this way, man. I done been out and done. I think it only comes from individuals who've been in those, in that despair, those desolate areas or them dark places like I've been through, man, in order to bring a person into light, letting them know, man, you don't believe this exists. When you got nothing but you and God, then you'll find out, brother.
Right.
Nothing but you in a book, in a book in a place where you in the wilderness, you're in the belly of the beast, whatever you want to call it, and you got tears rolling down your face and you don't know what direction you're going to go in. He bring you from that lets you know something then. It lets you know that there's a power when you're greater than nature itself, but it can't be discovered until you study yourself, man.
That's right, brother.
It's the inner man that you're going to. Go ahead, brother Pastor. I'm sorry. Cut you off.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just putting it out there, man. I mean, I just want you to know, you know, I'm receiving the information that's being put out, and I would love to believe that someone is tuned in, is getting some great information tonight that would benefit them, man. You know, if it's not them, maybe somebody that they can call them and let them know about what you all are talking about, man. I tell you, it's motivating me to not turn back because Brother Lanier just made it very plain. You know, if I forget about where I came from, now just about that now. You know, if somebody says, you can't listen to that, okay, but sometimes it feels good to remember when, you know, because if I forget about that, I'm doomed to go and try because it'll be something new. Oh, this is going there. The puff of this. Well, I never remember. I didn't remember that I was in that once upon a time. So give me a puff of it. And all of a sudden, I'm reminded now. You remember when you used to do this? Now you're in for a ride. So
that's right. That's right.
I've already been down that route. So there's no need of me traveling down a route like that I know is going to destroy me, because that's exactly what it's needed for. And I just appreciate you sharing that, man. And I think to return to my own vomit means that it's there waiting on me.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting you say that, Brother Pastor, returning to your own vomit. What gives what we call human beings a superior edge over dogs and other lower forms of animals is they call us homo sapiens.
Come on with it.
Homo sapiens. In other words, thinking beings. We have the ability to reason that, listen, I regurgitated this food because I didn't feel good and there was something about it that didn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
But a dog don't know no better. No, a dog don't know not to go back, man, and get that which you threw up already. Ain't no
that's
way.
Right, you know man. What? It, man, brother, that's so powerful because you think about how a dog loyals out his tongue. You can tell a dog something, he's slobbing. And you can still tell him he's going to be doing the same thing because that's part of his nature. Now, Jesus, you gave a lesson of what Jesus reiterated too when he talked about the fig tree. And you think about a fig, if it's cultivated with the right sunshine, the water, and environment, it can be the best fruit in existence. But if anything is omitted from that, it's got maggots in it and everything. And I think it was describing the nature of man. You understand this? You can look at it from that perspective, according to your perception of what God grants you to be a recipient of. If you look at it closely, that means man in his high dignity or his higher level, because of what he's been through, he can take them thoughts, man, and rise to his apex or his pinnacle. Or man can always go back and be a fool and keep following his ways or keep chasing his own tail and return to his vomit because he choose to drive his car looking out the rear view window. And how many people you see driving looking out the rear view window? What's going to happen? You ain't going to see what's in front of you. You're going to end up crashing on something, brother.
Wow.
That's correct.
Listen,
man.
Let me go to this next commercial break. You're listening to Talk Straight. Now, we're not holding punches. We're cutting it like it is because we want to talk straight to you. And we want you to know how to move from thoughts to action. That's where it's at. And keep in mind that these episodes that we've had will be sold as a fundraising by way of a CD. You can purchase one of our CDs online. They'll be on the webpage soon for $10, and you can help us with the ability to get to take these words to actions in those cities that we've targeted. As I mentioned, we're going to Columbus, Mississippi on February the 3rd, and that will be our first destination, and we're hopeful to make our way around to the Bessemer area in Alabama and Charlotte, North Carolina, and we've talked to individuals in Chicago, Penrose community in St. Louis, and the tour goes on. But after this brief message, give us a call here. You still got time. You got about 27 minutes. 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. And after this message, we'll be right back.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times, and locations for our traveling educational lecture series and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online. Thank you.
Hey, man, what's that on the wall? What's that y'all talking about? Just talk straight.
When you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer.
We're talking about moving from your mere thoughts to action. Brethren, I find that a lot of good men are so fearful of the thoughts that come to them from Yahweh Elohim on high that they run and hide. Pastor Waller, they run behind cocaine. They run behind heroin. They run behind alcohol. They run behind some female. They run behind indulgence and gambling and just laying around. Some of them just become homeless because God is speaking to them. And the thoughts that he gives them scares the living bejesus out of them. And rather than deal with that thought, they run from it.
Yes, sir.
I can think of a brother. I can think of a brother who did that. And that was.
I was one of them.
Say what?
I look, brother. You know what? If we don't give a testimony of truth, I might not have did all the hard stuff, but I've been through all those cycles, and from the homeless being undomiciled and all that, because when you find out, when God deliver you from one way, and repent means to turn away or turn from. See, people don't really understand what it really means, and we think we can keep on praying like God is mocked and keep on going back and doing so. It don't work that way, because one day he's going to leave you where you at. You understand? Because you're not being a recipient of being grateful. It's like you keep your attitude low and your gratitude high. I mean, when you're truly grateful or something to understand why the sun is shining so bright, that means you've had so many thunderstorms, so many hurricanes, and so many dark and dismal and bleak and vague days that now you know this is the route I have to trot. And it's a process indeed. But at the same time, you will come out more benefit from doing it in that direction and toward of going back, and it seemed like it's seven times worse. It seemed like it get worse each time, though. That's the problem.
Wow.
And it's so sad that we will beat ourselves up like that, but you can't learn until it's your season, brother. It's a season for everything. Isn't that true? It says that. So I think some teams got to get vintaged, or sometimes some things got to get canceled out. That's just how it go. Either you're going to get with the program, or you're going to just lose out on it, man. You're going to miss the boat. Oh, I think God is throwing off life preservers through the many people or the many people used as a means of conveyance, you know, to give our mess. I think life preservers are just being thrown out the boat and already sailed, man.
Let me ask you.
You know, we just got to catch on and get in where we fit in. And if we don't, then woe to your own soul. Don't blame nobody else for paying on Satan, because God make a garment of proof. You know, Satan only suggests it. So that means he can't get to that heart. But he can suggest something in your mind and whisper and then disappear. And next thing you know, you done got caught in the lurch and got caught in the web again. You'd be like, man, I don't even believe if I done did this. Man, this is something crazy. You know what I mean? Think about it.
I agree. Let me, and that's a good segue. That's a good segue, Bowden. Pastor, answer this for me, please. Who should a man allow to act on his behalf? Should a man allow to act on his behalf? Should he allow the preacher, the teacher, or his elected official to act on his behalf?
Yeah, on his behalf. Now, if I was in and I was lost. I just walked into a church. I don't know nothing about how to operate.
Okay.
And then, you know, this is a great example right here. There's a man that already came out into the streets where I was at. He left out of the church, came out of the streets, and you know the word I didn't know then, it said you reap what you sow, correct? So this man that came out of the church was the overseer, the pastor of the church, the founder of the church, came and seen me up on the corner, let his window down in his Cadillac, and sowed a seed, said, why don't you come to church?
Okay.
Now, and I said, I'll be up there. He let his window up, and he pulled off. He came back a couple of weeks later, around about some time like that, and because I hadn't made it up there, he said, we're still waiting. And I said, I'll be up there. Okay, so my life had not been sold. Years went by. And finally, I thought about the pain that I was in. You know, it got so severe that I was willing to try anything. So I thought about the pastor, and I passed every church in the direction heading toward 43rd. I was on 16th and Joe Johnson.
Okay.
Until I got to 43rd, which was the pastor, the overseer of that church. So when I got in the church, I needed his direction. I didn't know God,
mm-hmm.
but it was him who I was looking for some information from. And thank God that he gave it to me. You know,
okay.
I don't know what they were doing before I came to the church, before I visited the church, but I sure know what he was doing when I entered. That man was throwing some fire there, man. And that's what it takes, somebody that can help you help yourself. You know, I think.
Help you do what, bro, Pastor?
Help me help myself.
Help yourself.
Yes, sir. See, I couldn't help myself, so I went into a building that they said that they had something to offer. And I saw a lot of buckets that was laid out when they got ready to take up the offering. I saw a lot of buckets.
Right.
I passed every that I seen, and I took my money and gave it to the pastor who was in the pulpit. And I know it was a shocking decision. I know the people were shocked because the man stood up and accepted my money. What he was doing, he wasn't trying to belittle me. He didn't tell me to put it in the basket. He accepted it, and maybe he put it in the basket. Maybe he did. I don't know. I believe he put it in the basket, but he didn't want to do it in front of me because he knew I didn't know what I was doing. You see?
Okay. Right.
And so
that's right.
I needed his guidance, and that's what changed my life. It was through the man of God. And the word did say that Brother Lanier said earlier, you said you have to learn, right?
That's right.
29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's what I did. I had to learn through the man of God who had something to offer. He said, God is able. And that's how I got it. So I would say that if I'm going inside of a church, I needed some guidance. And that's how I got it, man. Yeah.
Well, let me share this with you.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate your testimony. I appreciate the testimony. What I heard from you is, first off, is that his action helped you to trigger an action. And you said you stayed out there and you decided when you're going to follow up on his invitation. And you eventually, you did so. But you did some things. Now, gentlemen, I have, in my experiences as a nonprofit founder and director, the Lord has blessed me to help a number of people find jobs and things of that nature and connect them with resources and opportunities. And I found some, there was a dude came in my office, Brother Lanier, over at the church.
Yes, sir.
He sat there with me for 2 hours running game. Now, he said that he was homeless, he needed a place to stay, he didn't have no food, no resources. So here I am going through my Rolodex trying to find him the support that he needs, calling everybody I can, claiming he didn't have no children, no family, and no nobody. We spent all that time, and as I made calls from one place to another, guess who popped up? This brother's name in Social Security popped up. He done been everywhere I'm calling.
Okay.
Where am I going?
Okay.
I'm saying that when you find out, when you find out how much a man or a woman is willing to invest in their own salvation, then you'll know just how much you need to help them. If they're not willing to make sacrifices and investment in their own salvation, you're wasting both your time and theirs. The text says, The text says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not what I want you to think. Not how I want you to think, but as you believe, as you perceive in your heart, that's what you're going to do at the end of the day. So we got to give people a chance to tell us what's on their mind. Go ahead, brother.
But, you know, you mentioned something very important in it when you was talking about the brother and how he came running game, because that's another thing I think why, speaking from a personal basis, when I went through my situations and I went reaching out, asking for help, people already had up their guards because of others being there prior with game. You understand?
Sure.
It just stopped me right in the door because I can feel their spirit. You can feel a spirit, especially when you spend a lot of alone time with yourself. And you say, man, it's like they rejected me. I said, didn't Jesus say it's not in the churches, it's in the street where the people really need help, and you go to certain people for help, and they shun you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a hurting thing because the individual who's running the game process haven't really taken initiative to embrace and acknowledge what they've been through yet. That's what it really is. They're not dealing
That's
with
true.
Integrity or truth. You know, so if it say you
That's
should
true.
Tell the truth and the truth should set ye free, then how are they going to free those shackles of their mind in order to renew their thoughts, in order to go in a positive direction? They're going to come, and they're going to keep on doing things in redundancy.
Yeah.
You know, so it comes,
you know
it comes from a true – yes, sir.
The only way I can help him is to talk straight with him. And
yes, sir.
Here's what I knew when he came in, brother. You don't get to be 37 years old without knowing how to hustle, son. See, you can't make it in the street if you ain't got street smart.
That's right.
So I knew his glass was neither half empty nor half full.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Do that.
Now, what he didn't
That's right,
know buddy. Is, what he didn't know is, I come from the language of deception and manipulation in the street. I know, I know the words that you use. But
That's
I
right.
wanted him to understand. That I'm here and this resource is here not for me, but for those who are really in need of education, support, and love. Don't burn this bridge for nobody else, brother. In fact, you ought to get out here with me and help me to help find those who really need it. Because right now what you're doing is hurting the next man behind you.
Right, exactly.
And that's what I was
it.
Saying, you know, other people be hurt that really need that help. And then what it does to them is they don't have no faith in anything. They don't have a faith in the church,
Absolutely.
In the temples, or the mosque.
Absolutely.
They won't have faith no more. And they just like, man, nobody, I'm going to go back to what I know best. And see, then they look like they become a product of their environment. And I hate to say it, they subsequently, they get stuck on stupid, man, and they end up perishing because of a lack of knowledge.
That's,
you know, I mean, you gave them the information.
Right.
They have
right.
they have the knowledge to lead them to make a better decision and be more decisive, but they choose to go back that way, and then some others have no other. I'm not saying God always provides a way out, so I can't say that there's not a way out.
Sure.
I can look there. There always was a way out. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But I think
right.
that goes in accord to what you said earlier about your heart have to be right first. You know, I think that, you know, if your heart is right and you're trying to be right for me and that's what your intentions are, actions are judged by intentions, I tell people, and you're going to get exactly what you intend. I don't care what you tell me. If your heart is
right
or whatever you're thinking in the heart, watch it come out in the rinse from that washer. Watch it.
Right.
You know,
right.
so I said to a young brother who had braids in his head, said he wanted a job. I said, well, maybe we need to go and get the clippers and at least trim your hair up. I didn't just cut all of it. Oh, blah, blah, blah. That was a non-starter for him. That was a non-negotiable. I asked him, what's more important, that you get on your feet economically or that you look good with your braids?
Okay.
And I want you to go think about that. I want you to go think about it. Because where you're going right now, you and your braids are going to wind up locked behind some bars.
Man.
And if you don't keep your hair clean, they're going to cut it off for you anyway.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's right.
They still with them. Yes, they'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but so here's the good news. Here's the good news. We got 10 minutes. Here's the good news. As we move from thought to action, I want to leave this thought with you all. There is nobody better than yourself. Let me repeat that. Nobody better than yourself to act on your behalf. Now, kiss this, brother. If Dockery, if Waller, if Lanier mean you any good and they're sincere about their intent to help you, what they will do is to empower you with knowledge and understanding so that you can use that information to through an informed process move from the things that are on your mind and your heart to the actions necessary to bring you through.
Right.
Am I wrong about that?
You're right, brother, you know. You're right, brother. You're so right, man. It's really touching because, you know, when you just look at our situation, man, and you understand who the lost sheep of Israel is, understand some things, you know what I mean? When you understand that and how we've been brought to these little foreign territories and why we're still running around the mountain, we could have probably been out of there in 4 days or shorter. God knows best. But take 40 years.
Wow.
Letting you know that sometimes – Pardon?
No, you go ahead. Go ahead. You're on the move. You're on the
okay,
move.
And it lets you know, brother, that sometimes we take the initiative to not lean to God, but we lean onto our own understanding. In other words, you know, like footprints in the sand, it's one set of footprints because God was carrying you. Then you want to get back when you think you didn't get just on some type of stable ground. You want to take back the steering wheel. And what you do again? Crash. Ain't that deep?
Right.
So, you
and
know,
Pastor,
it's incumbent upon us to learn. Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
No, Pastor, isn't that what happens when a cat goes into rehab, learn how to manipulate the program of rehab? As soon as they get dry for a second, then they cut out and run. They don't want to stay there no more.
Oh, no. They know everything. Yeah, that's correct. They know everything at that point. That's what the enemy loves, when somebody thinks they know everything, you see?
Right, that's right.
And that's where the danger come in at. See, when I stop trusting me, things start to change. You know, I'm going to say that one more time. When I stop trusting me,
that's
things started. You see, as long as I trust, things got worse. And that's what when I think about it, that's what brings forth still a very strong form of, man, I sure hate what I did to my community. You know, when I think about it, you know, even though I've been, you know, God for his compassion that he had on me, you know, and all of that, because, you know, it was in my ignorance that I've done those things. But, man,
right.
You know, it's powerful when one trusts in themselves, because this is who they have to trust. And, you know, years ago, you know, I didn't know anything about what the Word of God said. You know, the Word of God, it is not in man to direct his own steps. You know, so if I'm directing steps, there's a fool for you right there. You know,
isn't that true? That's right.
May I offer a thought to you? I read somewhere that man was created from the dust of the earth.
Uh-huh.
And then that text suggests that it was nothing. It was dead. It was had no life in it. But it goes on further to say that the Ruach, or the spirit of Elohim, was breathing through his nostrils. And I wasn't there, but in my sanctified imagination, I could see him jiggling, standing up to his feet, and become a living being. Watch the story. Over the period, in the process of time, he got so big-headed that everything that spirit put in him, he let it go away from just for some fruit. And he failed. He fell back down on his feet. And he's been groveling in darkness ever since. Trying to find his way back to the spirit of Elohim. But there's good news. I read also that a comforter came, and that this comforter said he'll lead you and guide you into not some truth, not all truth, but
all truth.
I wish I had a witness tonight.
Hey, brother, you got a witness, man. You got a witness, brother, because when we go through those situations, like you speaking about, especially what you said, it's not true. It's in, and I know you brothers are no best. It's in one of the scriptural references where it said God will write on their hearts and their minds.
Jeremiah 31.
You know, the hearts and the minds of his people, that things will be written in the hearts of his mind of his people. So
if you look at that essence,
that goes back on to think about, you know, that spirit that was coming, you know, and in order to let you know something is within us from the creation. When you talk about the visual that you created in my mind from the dust, and then man jingling the dust off, you know how we can be visual as human beings because we go by vision. So that's something very powerful, how we can get up and shake the dust off like we all had a bag of chips, and we forget about where we come from.
Man.
Ain't that deep?
You wasn't nothing but, look what's in the look what's in the earth. Ain't nothing but worms and webs and spiders and everything. That's all you were.
That's right.
God blew into you and made you something.
That's right. That's right.
So without His Spirit being an integral part of who we are, we're nothing. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. We got about 4 minutes here, Pastor.
Yep.
Give me something I can hold on to briefly, and then we're gonna let Brother Lanier give us something, and we're gonna leave out of here tonight on a song called "A Song for You" from Donny Hathaway. give me something real quick, Brother Pastor.
Yeah, I just want to appreciate you and Brother Lanier, Pastor. Man, I've enjoyed every minute of it, and what I would say to the listeners, I would share with them. To stay humble. He says, humble yourself up under the mighty hand of God, that He would exalt you due time. And what happens in due time, He gives you a chance to, as Brother Lanier said earlier, he said, repent and be converted. And the time of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. See, there's a refreshing come after you. And that's what I would like to share with the people, to let them know to prepare for that. And God bless you, brother.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. All right. Come on, Brother Nick. Give me something right quick.
Well, I would say something simple, too. Well, when I find out and I look around and I see people being snatched up all around me real quick, it lets me know that death is scheduled. So I think about the power of the now, how we sometimes make New Year's resolutions of what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. Why not just stand up and be accounted for? What I mean? For our own action. Why not take the initiative and try to push forth in a different direction, opposed to just saying, well, I'm going to wait to this day to do that, when ain't nothing promised but this moment right now where we got, brother. You understand?
Right.
So that inspires me, and it lets me know that there's a power that knows exactly how each and every one of us feel, and everything is limited, but at the same time, if you didn't been through some trial or tribulations, you should be trying to take the initiative to lead others into some type of light. If not, then woe to you. Woe to you for a day that's coming your way, because it's coming.
Yes, sir.
All right. You've been listening to Talk Straight, Brother Lanier, Pastor Waller, and your host, Reuben Dockery. Go to www.bfcinstitute.com right now. Make a contribution. Support our cause. Learn about us. Join us this coming Thursday. We're going to abbreviate our shows as we go on the road. But stay tuned with us by going to the website. Send us an email. Let us know where you are, and we'll be happy. It's tonight with Donny Hathaway telling us he got a song for us. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you on our next episode of Talk Straight.
Singing the song.